Hello and welcome to StrungeCast, episode 20.
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia is a cool word, and I first heard it in the early 90s from my dad. And I'd not heard of it after that for a long time, and then it started to make an appearance again when I realised that, hey, I actually have it. Didn't know that. Lots of other blind people have it too. Didn't know that either. So, yeah.
Before we get into this, should we just do the quiz question? Because we
of course.
Try and do that at the beginning.
Yeah, so I was about to say that, but I was just thinking aloud to myself, like, what strange word. And by the way, if you see it and you think it's spelled wrong, it isn't. We're using the British spelling, which has an A in it. The American spelling does not.
Yeah.
So what was last week's quiz question?
It was, when was Netflix founded? Was it 1997, 2001, 2009, or 2015?
Well, I used to know this because I actually watched a documentary on it, but can I remember it for the life of me? No, I think it was 97 because they did it as DVD at first or something.
Yeah, you are correct. It is 1997.
Oh, well then.
Yeah.
Go me.
I think it used to be, it wasn't Netflix. It was called, Love Film. Yeah, where you could, I don't know if people remember, but you could select all the different films that you liked and then you, and how many, you know, you paid like a subscription for the month and you would get sent the discs with a prepaid envelope, like random discs that out of the ones that you liked, if they, whatever they had available, they would send you.
When we first got together, you had it.
Yeah. It was quite good, really, I guess.
I remember.
For the time, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are doing the question for this episode, aren't you?
I am indeed. But for me to do that correctly, I need to know your name, please.
Kirsten.
And can you spell that for the listeners, please?
K-I-R-S-T-E-N.
Right. So when I lie awake at night and I can't sleep, I often think of anagrams because I love anagrams. And my wife's name is seven letters long, and there are two words that can be made with all seven letters. There's a polite word and an impolite word. What is the polite word for next episode? Bonus points if you get the impolite word, but we want the polite one.
Yeah.
It's really clever, and she doesn't even know it.
I know that we've had this conversation, though, and I know that we've talked about what it was you've told me, but I, as we've talked about, have a terrible memory.
Brain frog.
The brain frog. Brian, the brain frog. I cannot remember what it is. So I'm having to make a really conscious effort not to sit here trying to
work it out.
Yeah.
You will. And you'll wake up in the night and you'll go, Eureka.
Probably.
I might tell you if I feel generous after the episode.
No. Don't tell me.
Okay. I won't tell you.
Just like you do, you wait until the next episode. So.
Okay.
This time I'll have to wait. Or hopefully I'll come to it myself.
If you do, you can tell me and I'll tell you if you're right.
Yeah, you can confirm.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so should we get into
Let's do it.
Synesthesia. So I think we should start by explaining a bit about what it actually is in case people don't know.
Lots of people probably won't know because it's kind of rare, sort of.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing of, oh, I've heard of that, but I don't really know what it is.
Yes.
Why don't you explain it from your point of view? Because you're the one that actually experiences it.
I do. And I didn't realize it was a weird thing until a long, long time later. But I can feel days of the week. So if I think of, not all days of the week, by the way, but most of them. Most of them have an association. So, for example, Saturday is probably the most obvious. Friday and Saturday are two of the most obvious ones, I think, to me. Friday, which we are recording on today, is a big spongy softball, and I can feel it between my hands. I can squeeze it. When I think the word or say the word Friday in my head, that is what comes up. And I think that's not a normal version of synesthesia, because most people seem to have it with colours or taste or smell. But I have it with tactileness, from what I could work out. I read the whole Wikipedia article this morning, and it was quite fascinating. But I don't think touch is like a one that's based around for a lot of people. Saturday is the Yale key, and that is like the key to our house. You know, a lot of people have Yale locks and Yale keys, and the feel of a Yale key is the meaning of Saturday in my head. I could never ever disassociate those two things, or my life, or at least all my cognizant life. That's always how it's been. And I was trying to think why any of this would be the way it is. And all I could think of is that perhaps one day I was playing with a softball as a kid, and it was Friday, and maybe my mum said something, and maybe one day I put the key in our front door as a kid, and it was Saturday, and she said it was Saturday, and then the association just never unstuck, you know? Because yeah. I don't know why that would be the case for any other reason.
So when I was trying to have a little look about how to explain it, a lot of what I read talks about how it's the stimulation of one sense or cognitive pathway is what they called it,
yeah.
that leads to an involuntary experience in another cognitive pathway. So you experience one thing in one of your senses and your brain kind of crosses over the paths,
yeah.
and it comes out in a different sense as well. So that's why, you know, sometimes for some people, they might taste something and an image appears in their head or a sound, or some people see letters as certain colors or vice versa. There's so many different ways, as we've discovered.
It's really an interesting, what is it? It's not a disease. That's not the word. What is the word?
No, a phenomenon, I think, is what I read.
That's a great word for it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's got to be a word for this, you know,
yeah.
thing.
Something really interesting that I did read in several places, and I think you'll like this, is that there have been studies to show that people with synesthesia are often highly intelligent and perform better in memory tests.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting.
That is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know if this is a synesthetic thing, but when I think of like OTP codes, right, the one-time passcodes that we get via yeah. text message, those six digits, I feel them under my left hand on a phone keypad. In particular, this keypad over here on my phone patch. It's the old school kind of numeric dial pad.
So when it's not you say you feel it under pad. Your hand, like you feel like your hand is over it, or do yeah. you feel like you're touching the button?
I press them with my fingers as I think of the numbers.
Right. So, interesting.
Yeah, I have, I don't know why. And it's left-handed, oddly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's the case. But I think it's, do I always dial phone numbers with my left hand? I think I do. It's weird, you know, you do something so often, you're like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
But also, red is between your shoulder blades. So if I was rubbing cream into you, like sun cream or something, to me, that is the color red, or the feeling of red.
Mine or just a person?
Well, probably you, because I'm not going to do that to anyone else.
No, but previous to me.
No, I don't know. I think my association, my brain switched over the last, what, 17 years? So yeah, now the middle of your shoulder blades is red.
Wow.
The scapula.
Interesting.
That kind of area. Yeah, I know, it's weird. I'm weird. I don't know. It's just the
way. So I wondered if this phenomenon was more prevalent in people who are blind or partially sighted, as you know, maybe is it triggering the senses, or you know, if more people have some kind of sight loss. But actually, when I looked it up, there were several. I mean, I only scanned a few, but several pages and articles and things that actually talked about how. And this was published in 2022, so, you know, not long ago.
It's quite recent.
Yeah, that researchers had only just examined the first ever reported case of a person born blind with synesthesia. Now, obviously, we know that that's not the case because you have it and, you know, multiple other people have talked about it. And I know you've talked about a lot of your friends who have sure. it. So I wonder if it's just something that hasn't been reported or looked into. But I just thought that was, it just seemed a bit strange. But then on a Reddit page, I, you know, you obviously can't trust everything that you read.
You delved into Reddit, nice.
No, well, it just came up. It was just one little thing. So I did not do any delving. but there were, it said that there were reports of synesthesia and blind people from the 19th century. So again, I don't know. There definitely doesn't seem to be enough research or discussion about the link between that. Lots of people saying that if they had sight when they were born and for a significant period of time, then lost their sight, that seemed to have it.
This is what I read. I saw that as well.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's just because the other senses are
compensating for it.
Yeah, they're somehow compensating, and they're, you know, easily crossed over.
But then I am one who was born blind, never had sight, and exactly. I have it in a different way. So I
think it seems to be that there are so many different ways to have it. It's not just you taste something or you see something, or, you know, there's so many different varieties, it seems, and nothing is the same. So even if you and somebody else said, oh, the Yale key means something to me, you're going to have a different association.
There seems to be no two alike. I mean, there will be commonalities, because I think color is associated by a lot of people, but they are different colors for different meanings.
Yeah.
And if you look back at, if you look at this Mastodon thread, I'm going to link the Mastodon thread, by the way, that I started in the show notes. So you guys,
it's really interesting. And there's so many that we obviously can't read through all of them because we would be here for the whole day.
You've got to read some of the highlights though. I'm curious.
I am going to do my best to read as best I can. So is there anything else you wanted to say before I start reading?
I'm kind of curious to see which one stood out to you as someone who is probably quite normal, I guess.
I definitely would not describe myself as normal, but I do not have synesthesia. And I, as a person who doesn't, like, the only thing I can even vaguely attribute or imagine is when you smell a smell and it triggers a memory, or you hear a song and it triggers a feeling.
Yes.
Like I said to you the other day, there are songs that I hear that make me feel the sort of teenage angst that I did. You know, that sort of self-pity wallow that you kind of go through as a teen.
It takes you back, doesn't it?
It takes me back. So there's a couple of songs that I try and avoid listening to because they just make me sad. And there will be a smell and you suddenly think, oh, that reminds me of...
I think smell is probably one of the most profound senses we have, because it triggers memories in a way that probably nothing else quite does.
Yeah. But again, that's not synesthesia, because that's... I feel like I've said that word so many times.
And you will again.
I know. And I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to say it wrong, because for some reason my brain really struggles with that word. But that's kind of more logical, I guess. And it's a memory. There's a reason for it. Whereas things that you've said so far, there's no reason.
None that I know.
Yeah. Or an association, I suppose.
And green, by the way, the color green is a little squeezy stress ball, like a small one. Yeah. Don't ask. I don't know.
But you see, again, when you were trying to think of where did that association come from. So you said, oh, maybe one day on a Friday I was squeezing a ball, you know, and that's where it came from. But you wouldn't have known that if the case was that you had a green stress ball and that's why. You wouldn't have known it was green. I mean, I know someone could have told you, but...
That's probably why then, if that's the case.
Maybe.
Was being told it.
Maybe. I just think some of these, when we go through them, they're so bizarre
that
I can't imagine that anybody said, oh, that's this, or, you know, there was something that went with it. It just...
Right, come on, no more suspense.
Sorry, okay.
Tell them.
So let's start with a comment from Day, who says, I have associations, but not physical sensations. I remember the first time I heard the phrase WinMain, a Windows programming term, I instantly thought of the curvy shape of a toilet bowl. No idea why.
WinMain. I've seen that. Not as a I think I'm not a programmer, but I think I've come across it. So, well then, your WinMain toilet bowl is yours.
It's just really strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, of all the things. Because it's not even like a toilet bowl you particularly feel or have much interaction in terms of...
Unless you're cleaning it.
The shape. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Okay, so Rebecca said, I have the synesthesic experience, but it usually is with music. For example, if in the major scale I hear sixth, fifth, and third note in sequence, it makes me feel as if I'm being held. The reverse sequence has me feeling abandonment.
Now that's interesting. Mm. Sixth, fifth, third. So that's coming down the scale, top to bottom. And going up, third, fifth, sixth, is normally associated with like job well done or reward. And I think kind of as someone who does sound design as well, which is kind of another side of me that most people may not know, I do music, as a lot of you here will know. And I also do sound design for apps. And if you're giving someone like a well done, you would go up the scale as opposed to down the scale, because up is happy. So that's really, really interesting. And you know, I'm just sort of springboarding at the moment. I'm thinking aloud. When I do sounds, I think I want them to feel how I would feel if I listened to them. And I don't know if that's a synesthetic thing. Probably isn't. But... Mm. When I do make sound, I want them to signify, like, a feeling. I don't know how that works. I've always just done that.
I feel like that's quite a musical thing.
Yeah, I suspect so.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. We have from Tom. Basically, anything in the key of B or a few cents above B, usually 50 cents above, reminds me of the taste of chocolate or coffee. Best speech or the older type synthetic Andy voice reminds me of the taste of chocolate ice cream or choc ices. Juice is in the key of D, 50 cents sharp. Milk is in the key of F sharp.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Alison, a friend of mine, Alison, and I think she said somebody that she knows does not like F sharp at all. Mm. And any music in it makes them feel very uncomfortable. And I don't remember if it was F-sharp major or minor. But that's... It's so... Yeah, everybody has such a different experience with this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
It is.
Some good ones coming up, isn't
there? Yeah. Pepper. I associate letters and numbers with unique colours. I do it with taste to an extent as well. And it's most prominent for me when mixing music. All the sounds blend together into bands of colour stacked on top of one another. Coffee is a marbling of browns and greens and yellows and reds, depending on its origin. I use the colours of numbers to remember stuff. When I make music, I'm looking to get all the colour bands to stack neatly with as little smearing as possible. They become left or right bias depending on pan and can become either more or less saturated with stuff like reverb and dynamics, as though they are moving further or closer from me.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
Like painting with sound, essentially.
That is incredible.
Sonic painting.
And the stacking the colours and stuff. Like, I just, my brain cannot comprehend how that would work.
So someone could make an app that would maybe have musical notes based on their colour scheme. And then when you touch the notes, you could see what they feel or sense based on colour. Then you could get it. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Yeah. Definitely.
Imagine how people would perceive the world if they made music by looking at it. Totally different beast.
See, what's really hard is reading through these.
Yeah, I know,
when
right?
Some of them are replying to previous ones, so I have to find the actual...
But it's this part. This whole thread became a real kind of introspective look at other people's thought processes, didn't it? Like it kind of went... all sorts of different places.
It did, and it's kind of confusing with the timeline.
Yeah.
Okay. Kara says, I used to have it where light and colours made sounds. I also used to have it where people's voices would remind me of random objects, such as my reception class teachers reminded me of a certain spinning top I got out of a Christmas cracker.
I like spinning tops. In fact, I just like things that spin. I like to spin things. It's a just weird trait of mine. There was a Braille dice that came with a game from R&IB, and it had very beveled sides, and I could spin it for about 3 minutes on a glass coffee table because it felt nice. Completely unrelated to this whole thing, but yeah, anything that spins, I'm actually usually quite good at spinning it, aren't I?
You are very good. Isa, I think that's how you pronounce it. I hope I've said that right. Reading poems can inspire sensations in my hands sometimes. Like when I read poetry by Wallace Stevens, I'll feel a sensation of very smooth and cool metal balls rubbing against my palms. Sylvia Plath's poetry causes me to feel like I'm holding small bits of jagged glass.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's such a contrast, isn't it? To feel, you know, the soft, smooth metal ball and then jagged glass.
So I wonder if they could hold a ball in one hand and jagged glass in the other, or whether that's too juxtaposed and doesn't work.
Like, you can't
you'd have
listen
to be reading
to...
two poems.
Yeah, exactly.
That's curious.
Yeah. I also wonder the context of the poems. Is that all
true,
of the
actually.
Poems or...
specific ones.
Yeah. And what are they about? You know, is it something that triggers that feeling?
I don't know. Have you got any from Zantastic or Patrick? Because I know that they had some
I'm
very
just,
specific...
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the correct one, because all I could find was like responses. Oh, okay, so from Patrick. Did you know that the year 1994 is in E flat major? Now you do. Certain years have smells too, even certain times of the year. There is one smell that can be nothing other than late December 1996, no matter what time of the year it is.
Oh, man. I think I kind of get a sense of that with a smell, because December for me, the smell of December is Worcester, if I think about it. Because mm-hmm. living in the country, like, which I don't do now, but living in the country, you know, it was much more open spaces and fields and stuff. And when it was really cold, it had a very, very specific smell to it, which I loved. So walking between the campus, between the house and the school on campus is what I meant to say. You know, you'd get that in the morning, fresh, first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock, 7:30. It was a particular scent. And if ever London does do that, it does take me straight back there. And I think that's what you were saying earlier about smell having a specific memory associated to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I can kind of relate to that, I think.
Okay, I have from David. He says, for me, I find D major to be bold and bright. Not sure if I'm referring to a colour, but it's more of a feeling or almost a personality. C major sounds kind of plain Jane by comparison. I think Billy Joel is aware of this, as he talked a little about this during his time on Inside the Actors Studio.
So then, you know, the question becomes, well, I know that a lot of musicians have synesthesia. I wonder whether actors do too, and helps them memorize lines and things. I mean, is it like an artistic trait?
Yeah, maybe.
I'd love
it to. It does seem to be a lot of people talking about music, especially.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to, you know, our favourites, some of our favourites, like Rhys Shearsmith, Steve Pemberton. Do you, don't want to, like, you know, if I ask them, do you have synesthesia of any kind? Or do you even know of it? And you've had it all your life and didn't know. I think that'd be fascinating, honestly, to be able to ask some of the big names.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
So I was thinking about this as well, and... you know, like I said, not all days have an association for me. But I think sometimes I feel that other parts of my life do as well. Like, my name has an association, but yours doesn't. And I don't know if it's because it was all this stuff happened early in life.
Yeah.
So then associations don't really come, like the kids' names don't. Doesn't mean I don't love you all.
Well, no, it's just how it works in the brain. You don't have it for every single word or every single thing you come across.
No.
So...
but I have it for purple as well. Purple is the play button on my cassette recorder when I was a kid. But also, so is the word person. And I think that's just actually noise association. Purple, person.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really related. So I don't know why that's the case. But it's definitely the button of the play on the recorder. And it's a very specific feeling button. It's like the old style piano keys, not the modern digital kind of keys that we are used to nowadays. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But then I think you said for David that D major was purple, I think. I can't remember. I think that's what you said. So as a result of that, it reminded me. Purple is not a word I hear all the time.
No.
So it stuck with me. But yeah. Are we about to start being drilled again? I can hear drilling.
Yeah, I think so. Not so nice.
How rude. We've had a lot of noise upstairs the last couple of days. I don't know what they're doing up there. And it's interesting. Is it 10 years this year? Yeah. In the 10 years we've lived here, we haven't drilled. Actually, a BT engineer drilled once in the cupboard, but we, ourselves, have never drilled.
We have very thin walls, that's why.
But even then, like, we just stuck to the rules. When we moved in the first time, because it was a new build, they said, you can't drill. And we just never have.
No, we haven't.
We've used sticky things to put things up on walls, and we've never drilled.
So one more that I think is quite good to talk about. This is Marion.
Oh, okay.
I have it with words and feelings, but what I do... Sorry, it says I don't have it with words and feelings, but what I do have, especially when occurring in dreams or mentally altered states, is where sounds are associated with colours. For example, trumpets, especially multiples, sound like an old incandescent light bulb's look. Choirs with echo are like sky blue. Choral groups without echo are either the colour of overcast daylight or partly cloudy sky. Depending on the number of voices, cellos and bass are aqua. Tambourines, bassoons and other lower woodwind and brass instruments are generally either green or the colour of those ancient streetlights that were somewhere between green and cool white. Solo male voices are cold white like fluorescent lights. Female voices vary much more, but are generally either fluorescent lights or those awful amber orange twirly lights everybody used to have in the 90s and early 2000s.
See, this person definitely had sight, maybe even still possibly does. So there's a lot of visual stimuli there. Interesting.
Well, you did, you replied that, and she did reply saying, yes, she has light and colour positive in her left eye. So I guess that's...
Do you remember those lights that she's talking about? Can you picture them? I think she's from Australia, so... I think she's from the US, actually.
I don't know, if I'm completely honest. I mean, fluorescent lights, we use them a lot less now, but they are still, like the strip lighting, particularly in schools you would have those, and in offices, but I think they are being phased out more and more because they just...
They're big and noisy.
Awful headaches as well. Yes, that kind of hum, buzzing.
I was going to say, if you could hear it, fluorescent lights made a nasty noise all the time. And the old CRT TVs as well, which they used to make a noise too, and we could always tell when they were on. Used to be kind of a party trick for a lot of blind people. Like, even if the TV was muted, like, what are you watching on TV then? Because it made a noise. And I know Patrick, my friend, we talked about if the TV was not properly tuned in, the reception was not good, then the pitch changed of the squeak of the tube. And we could tell them, this is not properly tuned in, it could be better. They're like, how do you know? The sound is wrong.
Funny. You and your hearing. Simon says, I don't think about this often anymore, but I used to associate notes with shapes when I was very young. E was a circle, D was a triangle. That association feels like it's on the tip of my tongue now. Like if I think of certain notes or scales, it tugs at something at the back of my brain, but I can't quite access.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Did you find the Zantastic stuff? Or was it replied to?
I'm trying really hard.
If you can't, it's fine. But I think they said some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I can just see the replies and not the...
Maybe it was a reply as opposed to a separate?
No, I know, but it just doesn't quite make sense then when I'm looking at it.
So it has to be like a thing.
Don't know if...
In that case, what I'll try and do is...
Might have to come back.
Get people to come to the comments, and because I want to revisit this topic. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. But if you are synesthetic, yeah, I know, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are a synesthete, which is the word, then do let us know, because I really am fascinated by everybody's different take on it. This is one of those that there is no right or wrong. There's no definitive yes or no's. It's deeply personal to each and every one of us. And I really want to find someone else who understands the whole a thing feels like a thing. Because it seems to me that unless I'm mistaken, I am just me alone out here, which is a little sad.
I think it just proves everybody has a different version. There's no...
Yeah, absolutely.
No one is the same.
But I guarantee there will be someone else with that kind of tactile sense of a word or a feeling or a thing. Like the number four, thinking about the number four, it's one of those, what do you call it? Like, you know how our TV cabinet has a hole that you put your finger in to slide the door open?
Yeah.
But it's a different type of one where it's filled in. So you put your finger in, it's a finger-shaped hole, and it's a sliding door. And sliding that to the side, and the fact, the feeling of my finger in that, you know, the socket to slide it, that's the number four. And it's like a movement plus a feeling. It's never just a single motion. It's hard to explain.
I found one reply from Zantastic just quickly before we end.
Yeah.
Says the general idea of Andre, but you on Freaky Foof is how to describe this. A really cool feeling boombox handle, and Andre's the speakers of that boombox.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I sort of have multiple me's. There's like three me's. There's the Andre me, there's the Andre me, and there's the Freaky Foof me.
Yeah.
And I think that they have all played a part in my life, actually. In a lot of ways, Andre's a music version of me. One of two. One of three. Because there is a track actually out there called Freaky Freaky Foof, right? And it was written after I got my name, which all came from Onomatopoeia in 2003. Now, onomatopoeia is another topic. We have to do this. I'm just thinking about this now. Onomatopoeia is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more people can relate to it, I think. If you think of it, what you're going to do is we'll look up the fact that dogs do not woof in every language and cats do not meow in every language. But onomatopoeia, somebody heard a thing and turned it into a written thing or an idea of a thing. And I feel, just talking about it now, that somehow it relates back to synesthesia in a very strange roundabout way. I want to know if anyone else gets that.
I can kind of see where you're going, but yeah, we'll have to.
That'll take us down a whole other rabbit hole. What have I done?
We'll have to discuss it a bit more.
Yeah, I know. I'm intrigued now. Okay. Well, this has been fun. I would love to get comments on this one because I know a lot of blind people out there that are not on Mastodon, did not see this thread, and we have a lot of listeners all over the place nowadays, with us being, you know, on all the platforms. So, blind or not, if you know of or are yourself synesthetic, do get in touch, because I'd love to hear your stories.
Definitely, that would be really interesting. And also, I think it would be interesting to know if you have sight, did have sight, don't have sight, just to sort of see the numbers, because the information saying that not that many people without sight experience this,
right,
I think actually is really incorrect. So it would just be interesting to
not even to mention deafness. I cannot for a minute believe that deaf people do not have synesthesia in some form or another.
Well, no.
It's a whole other ball game.
Because it's just other senses, isn't it?
I think they would probably, and I mean, maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I think that they would probably smell things with their synesthesia. In that I never see anything with mine because I've never understood the perception of sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really curious. Well,
an interesting one.
Yeah, deep this one. And I feel really pleased and accomplished that we've come to this nice, you know, round 20. And long may it continue, but I'm really pleased we've got this far. We've made it further than Harry and Meghan did.
Yes, that is true.
I think they did, what, 12 or 14 episodes? Got 100 million know. For that? Something like yeah. that?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah.
Come sponsor us. Synesthesia. Organisations. No, I don't know. But yeah, see you on the next one. And as always, thanks for listening.
Bye. What was, maybe you should share the one with the piano key.
Oh, gosh. That's kind of a bit weird. People think I'm quite bizarre.
Well, when we read some of the others out, I don't think you'll be the only one.
There is one note on the piano, which is F4 on the piano, right? So C4 is the middle of the piano for a lot of people. So F4, which is the F above C4, is the feeling of a boob. Yup. In the palm. I have no answer for why that might be. So if you're drinking tea and you spit take at this, I apologize. But I can't tell you why that is the case. I just know it is the case.